We present My Music. A new musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schrein. And here to introduce the two teams is your chairman, Steve Race.
Hello, welcome to another edition of My Music, in which we test the team's knowledge of music of various kinds, and we hope you at home will take part too. As usual, David Franklin and Frank Muir are challenging Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. We come straight into our first round. Orchestral music, gentlemen. For 2 marks, can you give me, please, the title and the composer? A mark each, and we begin with David Franklin.
It is a dance, something or other. Dance Espagnol.
Frank,
It's Dance Espagnol by Chabrier.
Ah, it's by Chabrier. You get a mark for that, but it's certainly not Dance Espagnol.
No, it isn't. No.
It's called España. Oh. Dennis Norden, here's one for you.
There's a very, very a wonderful example of what you might call tentative writing on Ian's paper next to it. I never knew it was possible to sort of whisper in writing. There's a kind of very tentative and questionable poet and peasant written down.
Very good. You're sticking with that, are you?
Well, folk demure, you know, I would grab any other straw that was offered. But
you would do well to. It's a pity there aren't any other straws. It's not Bird and Pheasant, it's Orpheus and the Underworld by Offenbach. Better Offenbach than Bach Offen, as either you or Frank once remarked, I think. So that's no marks, I'm afraid.
It was known as a folk de Norden, as a thing from a folk demure.
And the next one for Ian Wallace. Mark for the composer, mark for the name of the piece.
Overture to the Bastard Bride by Smetana. The Merry Wives of Windsor by Glinka.
I think that this must be the part of sitting on the pier when the man comes around for the deck chair money and you slide off and you never actually get to see the title.
Such a mine of misinformation going on. I don't know quite how far to go back and correct it all. Merry Wives of Windsor isn't by Glinka, incidentally. It's by Nicolai.
Oh, which, you know, yes, same sort of sound of a name.
You wrote a song about that, didn't you, Nicolai?
That's a side issue, Frank. Let's not go up there.
Anyway, it was, as nobody said, the Zampa Overture composed by Erold. So that's no marks there, I'm afraid.
Hark ye, Erold, angel sing, it's a carol.
We're not doing very well.
Frank Muir, who's rather strong on good music, will now tell us what this is and who wrote it. Yes, Frank.
A descriptive piece written by an American composer, Mr. David Rose. Yes. And it's called The Stripper.
Absolutely right, yes. And those of us here can vouch for the fact that you nearly did during the course of the piece, yes. Quite right. For that, you get 2 marks. That should have helped us no end. We move on now to a round of general musical questions. For 2 marks, David Franklin, what was the origin of pianoforte and why is it so called? In a word...
Well, it was an instrument that could play both piano, or more than one word. It's an instrument that could play both piano and forte, which was preceded by an instrument called the forte piano, which by strange coincidence could play both forte and piano.
And the other way around.
Yes, the other way around.
I don't think I could fault that in any way. How are the sounds produced as opposed to, say, a harpsichord?
Tell him.
Oh, you know. Yes, well, you press this key thing, and through a very involved linkage system, a hammer strikes the strings and goes ping. Well, not ping.
Pong,
it goes ping.
Well.
Pong, yes.
Pong further
goes
down.
Pong.
Yes, or as opposed to being plucked in the harpsichord and certain other instruments of kindred type. I've got down here something about a Mr. Cristofori born in Padua, but I don't think we'll go into that. Let's ask instead, give you 2 marks, Dennis Norton, how did Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata get its name?
And why was it called the Moonlight Sonata? Because it sounds like... he said to a chap, what does it sound like? And the fellow said, an unripe tomato. Now, as you know, Beethoven was slightly deaf. I think it's simply a descriptive title. I mean, it sounds like a Moonlight Sonata. I mean, you could have... Well, you can't call that Frankie and Johnny, can you?
Oh, very nearly, because I sang some wrong notes.
Yes, I think if an answer so brief and terse as that, one could hardly ask for the correct information. I'll give you 1 out of 2 there, I think, Dennis. The point is that Beethoven didn't call it the Moonlight Sonata. He called it something else. It was a critic named Rellstab, which looks like one of these mirror names type here, who decided it reminded him of Moonlight on the Lake of Lucerne, and he called it the Moonlight Sonata. So, fair enough, 1 mark out of 2. Ian, in Verdi's Aida, the heroine dies in the 4th act beside her lover. How do they die?
Permanently.
And loudly.
Yes, no doubt, and at some length. Ian?
It can't have been an asp.
No.
Egypt.
Yes.
She died at the side of her lover.
I did say that, yes.
She poisoned herself.
That's a very good guess in almost any opera except Aida, isn't it? No, she didn't. She suffered a similar fate to Dr. No in either the book or the film. I can't remember which. I know they were different. They were buried alive. It was the book, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, they were buried alive, Aida and her lover. So that's, it isn't really any marks, is it? Frank, in the musical, The Desert Song, who is the Red Shadow?
He's a star. And he's a tenor. And he was originally Harry Welchman. And he's the dashing leader of this band of insurgents, the Riffs. And he was a Scarlet Pimpernel kind of chap.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he was rather foppish in his true role, that of a high-born gent. But underneath it all, like Batman, you know, he had this sort of cloak and went away and led the insurgents and did awfully good things for the underprivileged.
Yes, that's right. I think he was called Pierre in his sort of quiet self, wasn't he? Because I remember Myrna Loy in the film, when they were saying, "Where's the Red Shadow? Where's the Red Shadow?" She kept saying, "Where is Pierre? Where is Pierre?" I can remember this, right? Anyway, whether I'm right or wrong, you get 2 marks. For 3 marks now, gentlemen, can you recognise the following songs, the stage works from which they come, and also can you please identify the composer of the music? Here's one for David. David.
It's the Brindisi from the 1st act of Traviata, sung by the tenor Alfredo, written by Verdi, first produced in Venice in 1856, and then a dismal failure.
Well, yes, I'm sure. I didn't ask you for all of that, but jolly
good. It worth just spills out.
3 marks. Yes. 3 marks for that, and by a rather curious coincidence, here's the music we offer Dennis Norton.
Well,
That was the riff song from the Desert Song, written by Sigmund Rongberg, first answered by Frank Muir.
Yes. You're right for 3 marks. Ian, here's yours. This is a part you haven't sung either, isn't it?
No, but happily, I've been on the stage when it has been. And I think I'm about to break my duck here by saying that that is the waltz song sung by Musetta in the second act of Puccini's opera La Bohème.
Otherwise known as The Merry Wives of Windsor. No, you were perfect to write 3 marks and Frank Miller. Onward, onward, Frank. What's that?
This is the rebel song. It's And to Hell with Bermondsey. it's the rebel song from The Vagabond King, which was a musical based on François Villon, very loosely.
Who based it on?
That's a good question, yes. One of those chaps who are always doing this round about that time. Yes. Is it Sigismund Romberg?
No, it's not. No, we've had him already.
Yes, well, I thought you might be another one of those coincidences.
No, this isn't. I can't really give you...
It's a Viennese chap, isn't it?
Well, I can't really
I'll
give
pass.
You...
Half.
Yes, I'm afraid you'll have to... Rudolf Frimmel wrote it. No marks for that. A mark for The Vagabond King, but I can't really allow you to call it The Rebel Chorus when it was, in fact, The Song of the Vagabonds.
Oh.
Now some questions to test your general knowledge on matters musical. Again, for 2 marks. David, there's an opera with a Spanish setting which was a flop at its first performance. Its title, please.
Carmen.
Yes, and you'd like to tell us when and where, wouldn't you?
Well, it was in Paris in the 1860s, I should think. And the reason why it failed, very strange. In Paris, of all things, they objected to seeing women smoking, actually smoking on the stage. The women chorus were appalled that they, instead of just standing in a straight line, holding hands and watching the conductor, they were required to move vigorously around the stage. And above all, the sad ending to the story shocked Paris to the core, because José actually kills Carmen, and this was felt to be most improper for an opera performed at the Opéra Comique.
Yes, the really sad thing I always think is that Bizet didn't live ever to see to know what success it was going to be. It's 1875, the year to be precise, but you certainly get your 2 marks. Dennis, on which work by which author, mark you, was Verdi's La Traviata based? Author.
It was by Dumas.
Yes.
And it was The Lady with the Camellias.
Yes.
Or La Dame aux Camélias.
Given your choice of Dumas.
You want to know whether it's the, the older or it was the younger.
Yes. Dumas fils. Quite right. 2 marks. Ian, what member of our royal family was a talented organist and composed on opera, anthems, morning church services and songs? Member of the royal family. By marriage.
The prince consort.
Yes.
Albert, the husband of Queen Victoria.
Quite right there again. 2 marks for that. Frank, what were, please, Puccini's Christian names?
Charlie. hang on a minute. My friend's writing.
David Franklin writing.
Giacomo.
Yes, to name but a few. Yes. Three, four, five. I've got 6 here.
Well, that give me a 6th of a mark then.
Yes.
Two more. Antonio. Giacomo.
Yes, that's 2 we've got up to now. if you...
I'll stick.
Great. No, don't stick. If you say one of them soft, it's almost more like praying.
Maria.
Yes, Maria, that's right. He was a second son, I fancy.
Oh.
Secondo.
Yes.
Secondo.
Yes.
Giacomo. Francesco.
He was no relation of Scarlatti.
Alessandro.
No, Domenico. I must call a halt there. His names, according to my information here, were Giacomo Antonio Domenico Michele Secondo Maria. So that's 4 out of 6. I can't work that out, but I'll give you 2 marks because you did marvellously on that
one. Must have taken him all night to sign a cheque.
Just for interest, members of our audience, David Franklin and Frank Muir lead by 6 marks. Now for some singing. You are about to hear Graham Daly on the Mellotron playing popular and traditional tunes. I want you please to sing and to sing the words. Up to 3 marks for the best attempts. David Franklin, listen first, then sing.
Alouette, je te... something or other. Alouette, what I just have said. Je te... something or other, la tête. And you sing, he something or other, la tête. A la tête.
Alouette.
A la tête. Alouette. Alouette, je te... alouette. Alouette, chante, alouette. Next week, the Frank... next week, the Frank Muir Chorale in Haydn's Creation.
The words bore some relation to the words I've got in front of me. Yes, 2 out of 3 there. And Dennis, here's one for you to sing.
I've got to catch up with it. I don't know the next one. I don't know the I actually. Though she dresses in clogs and shawls, she's the prettiest of them all. No one is
sweeter.
No one is rarer and fairer than... it's funny because somebody said dearer, and then I thought that makes her name Vera. But it isn't, you know. Vera, is there anyone dearer? You know,
yes.
In the town of Tel Aviv.
My lass from Lancashire.
Yes.
Oh, yes, that's very, very good indeed. I think that's worth 3. I really do. I've got the verse here for no reason at all. There's a lovely bit in the verse about a boy had sailed away across the briny spray to toil in USA. I'd have given you 4 if I got that bit. 3 as it is. Ian, here's one for you to sing.
He bangs and brays a bonny doon. Why?
How?
So something about sad. Oh, it is so sad and so something. Da di da 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 di 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 da di da da di 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 di. And then it goes da di di do about the birds and the bees. Why do you go, you bonny bird? Da 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 di da di 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 di. And then it's the first bit again. It's called Molly Malone.
Yes. Well, no jokes about the words, because they're probably written by a national poet, the very least. How can ye chant, ye little birds, and I stay weary, full of care? And
that's right.
I think 2 would be sort of generous as regards the words, don't you?
I do.
Yes,
I
although the singing was so lovely. 2 out of 3. And here's a song from Frank Muir.
Oh, ho, ho, ho,
we bring the jubilee. Oh-ho, oh-ho, the flag sets you free.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
As we used to sing it 50,000 strong or something. When we were marching through Georgia.
That was a good teacher.
An extra mark for the extra key, I was going to say.
Well, I have several of those to spare. It's a lad, his girl was in Lancashire still, don't forget, because he sailed away to the United States.
Yes, hurrah, hurrah, we bring the jubilee. The so sang the chorus from Atlanta to the sea while we were marching through Georgia. Two out of three would, again, I think, be generous and nuts.
You think
just
so,
nuts,
right?
I think that would be, yes, yeah, just right. Two out of three. We leave the singing with some relief for another week and turn now to ordinarily verbal answers. David Franklin, can you tell me, please, for two marks, what is an aeolian harp and how is it performed upon?
The aeolian harp is a Greek harp.
Yes.
It is played upon, not as you might think, by clutching it in one hand and then going, as Frank said in the previous program, tweaking the strings with a pizzicato effect. Instead, you lay it on your lap. You, is this wrong? What? Oh, I beg your pardon.
Couldn't I was say you're going to get the air to it on your lap.
I was thinking... I was thinking of a completely different harp.
Well, that's the beast.
How stupid of me.
I trust you were.
The aeolian harp was played by holding it up and letting the wind blow through it. Like that.
That was really the answer I was after.
Yes. Well, you got it in the end.
Well, I preferred the... I did prefer your answer, actually, but the answer, the correct answer I got here, yes, it's played by the wind, so constructed that, it says here, as in the case of telegraph wires, when the wind blows through it, it makes a pleasant sound. Dennis Norden, what is schmaltz in music?
Well, it's a dialect word meaning chicken fat, actually, and it's... I haven't heard it for years, but it used to be applied to a kind of treacly music. Would be something like a Guy Lombardo orchestra playing Little Lady Make-Believe. I think would come under that category. Or, to me, always Hawaiian guitars sound like that. But it's a kind of a derogatory term applied by people who like jazz to any kind of music which isn't jazz.
Two marks for your excellent taste in music, yes, you're absolutely right. There was a song many years ago that came out called They Needed a Songbird in Heaven, So God Took Caruso Away. And I think that qualifies as yeah. Much, you times, don't you? Ian, what is a dulcimer?
A dulcimer is a musical instrument which has a series of metal plates of different lengths mounted with washers on a wooden frame, and you have a couple of little dulcimer sticks as opposed to drumsticks, and you play the notes with these sticks. Children very often have them as toys. People even have them sometimes as gongs, a form of dulcimer, as a dinner gong, if anybody these days still has a dinner gong.
Or dinner.
Yes, I'm not very happy about your metal plates. But,
well, actually, why I mentioned the metal plate was...
Not for dinner.
That before the war, my family had a dinner gong, like a dulcimer, and it had metal plates. But you could, they could, of course, be made of wood.
We really go from bad to worse. It says here, it is a box-like instrument with strings, operative word, that are struck by small hammers held in the hands of the player. And a very crisp point here, a piano is a keyboard dulcimer, harpsichord is a keyboard psaltery. Not that anybody mentioned
well, what's
the psaltery.
What's this thing that I'm talking about? If
it's xylophone.
No. No.
Well, we are not allowed to ask the chairman a subsidiary
question. I'm talking about the sort of thing one gives a child for a present, yeah. And that's called a dulcimer.
Well, yes.
You go to a toy shop and say, "Can I have a dulcimer?" That's what they'll give you. Is what I described. I'm fighting for this one.
I'm going to give you one because the whole point about the dulcimer is a string instrument and one bite for the hammers that by which it's struck, and but you can answer the mail when it comes in. One mark there, Frank. What would you do with a sitar?
Yes.
Given the
well,
chance.
The small one you hire for the evening so that you can go out. It's the baby sitar. But the big one is an Indian stringed instrument, guitar-like in origin, I think. It sort of goes, bing, bing, dong, dong, ding, dong.
It's perfectly true, yes, it does, doesn't it? You get your two marks for the sitar, that's right, an Indian string instrument. And that brings us to our final score, in which I noticed that David Franklin and Frank Muir beat Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden by 4 marks.
Taking part in My Music were David Franklin, Dennis Norden, Frank Muir, and Ian Wallace. The chairman was Steve Race. At the Mellotron was Graham Dan. The questions were compiled by Edward J. Mason. And the program, which was recorded, was produced by Tony Schreier. Thank you.